you, Erica. Erica's a graduate, an alumni of Deer Park High School. Amen. Thank you, Erica. We appreciate it. Good to be saved, isn't it? You know, in our Sunday school lesson, I've been talking about prophets, not talking about prophets. It doesn't sound very good, does it? I've been talking concerning prophets. That sound better? And one of the things that I wanted to talk about, a little bit about this morning, was the demeanor of the prophet. And preaching, any preacher that's worth his salt never enjoys a scathing message. I never did like to preach a scathing message. And the reason is because of the love that God puts in your heart for your people. And these prophets, Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. He went through the streets of Jerusalem preaching and weeping because of the message he had to bring. Any preacher's like that. We just don't like it, but occasionally we have to. Now, I'm not preparing you for a scathing message tonight, but I am preparing you for our thought, our thinking. What is it more than anything we need in this country? It's revival. God's people need to be revived. God, when he speaks to God's people. What's the message of the lost? The only message we have for the lost is Jesus saves. And through him and him only can we be born again. And he's the only way. That's the message to the lost, but what's the message to the saved? You know, there's more written in the scriptures to the saved than there is to the lost. Well, Israel was having a lot of problems. I don't know if you remember or not or recall, maybe some of you weren't even here at the time, but I preached a message, it's been a year or so ago, on a famine of hearing. And we took our thought out of Amos. Tonight, I want to talk to you about reasons why America does not hear. Reasons why America does not hear. Let's go back to Amos chapter 8. And let's look at this, because what I'm going to talk to you now tonight stems from this particular passage, portion of Scripture. In Amos chapter 8, starting in verse 11, the Word of God declares this. Now remember, Amos is a prophet. He was raised in Judah, but yet he was a prophet to Israel. And so this message that he's bringing to northern Israel. He's bringing to the northern 10 and a half tribes that are now split, separated. They have their kingdom, and then there's the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judea. But God hadn't forgotten about them. The glorious thing about God is he doesn't forget about us. No matter what condition that we may be in, no matter what condition our hearts may be in, no matter how far away we might be from him, God never forgets about us. And every warning and every message was more than just a message of necessity. It was a message of love from a God who never forgets about his people. So God sent Amos, the prophet, to northern Israel. And here's what he had to say in this particular portion. Verse 11 says, "Behold, days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Now that's the famine. Of hearing the words of the Lord. Now here are the results of a famine of not hearing. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to the west, and shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In other words, when God's word is rejected, and a famine of hearing comes across the land, there comes a time of regret, and of seeking, and of searching for the word, and they cannot find it. God said, it'd be a famine. Now, I don't know what place or what point we've reached in the life of our country, but I'm telling you, if something isn't done, if revival isn't had, we're heading for a very dry time in America. And they're going to wander from sea to sea and from the north to the east, seeking the word and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. The youth are going to quit. That word faint means quit, fall away. They're going to fall away. And then in verse 14, and this is where I'm taking my thought from tonight, it says that they that swear by the sin of Samaria and say, the God O Dan liveth, and the manor of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall and never rise again. Scathing words from God who loves his people to his people. Over in Matthew chapter 13, Lord Jesus had this to say in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 15. He said this. He said, for this people, he's talking now to his crowd in his day. You see, the thing that I'm going to talk to you about tonight is not an old message, nor is it for a generation past, but it's for the present. It's for today. And Jesus said, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Now here's why. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. That was the words of Jesus Christ to that particular generation. Now, when we preach to you the message, a famine of hearing, we looked at three things. Number one, we looked at what the prophet did not say. He did not say that there wouldn't be preaching of the Word of God. He did not say that the Word of God would not be a present or be around. He didn't say that. The second thing that we looked at is what he did say. What he was saying was that they would not hear. They would not listen to the message that's being preached, to the word that's being read. And the results of not hearing then, we've already seen and already looked at. Now, when there's a physical famine, there's usually a reason for it. Many times before the famine comes, we fail to see the reason for the famine's coming. And the same is true in hearing the Word of God. He said he's talking about a famine, that it's going to happen. And in this, there were certain reasons for it. In a physical famine, we can blame famine on infestation. We can blame famine on pestilence. We can blame famine on lack of rain, drought. We can blame famine on a lot of different things, a lot of different reasons. I was reading about the Dust Bowl in Oklahoma. The reason why they had a Dust Bowl in Oklahoma, the problem was the way they were plowing their fields. And along came this windstorm and blew all the topsoil out of Oklahoma. All the topsoil out of Oklahoma. And the reason for it was simply the way they were plowing their fields. A lot of different reasons. A lot of different things can happen because that causes a famine. Now, in looking at the results of a famine, we can look back and see some things that happened that brought us to that point. Same is true of a hearing famine. What signs can we see? What can we look for that would cause a hearing famine? Results, or the reasons rather, are often overlooked at the moment of the result of the famine. Reasons are overlooked. We can look at the rational. We can consider what God has said in His Word. But if we never survey the present, we'll never be able to foretaste or foretell what's going to happen in the future. Tonight, I'm going to share with you 3 points from the Word of God in the history of Israel of why America does not hear. First of all, idolatry. Now look at Amos chapter 8 and verse 14. It says this: "They that swear by the sin of Samaria and say, 'Thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the manor of Beersheba liveth,' even they shall fall and never rise up again." Idolatry was one of the causes of this famine. You see, when we think of idolatry, we think about a half-naked heathen people bound down to statues and totem poles, or even bound down to nature, worshiping rocks and streams and all these things. That's what we think of. We think about idolatry. Think about Rome and Greece and Persia and Babylon and all their involvement in idolatry. What we think about. But my friends, idolatry goes far beyond what we see in the physical, because idolatry reflects the heart of the people. It's more than just bowing down to a statue. It's more than just a half-naked heathen country that knows nothing of God or about God. It reflects the heart of the people. And this is what happens when we become involved in idolatry. Now, what is idolatry? Well, we have the Old Testament idea of idolatry. But what does God say in the New Testament? Look here in Colossians chapter 3 in the New Testament. And let's see what God has to say about idolatry. We're looking at verse 5 in Colossians chapter 3. Let's just start at verse 1. He said, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of the Father. Set your affection on the things above and not on the things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him Verse 5 says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So when we look at this, we're looking at the condition of hearts. And he says that idolatry is a condition of the heart. It's what we look at. It's what we think about. It's how we live. It's how we do not live. All these things. It's a matter of a heart, of the heart. And a matter of a heart reflects our first love. In Revelation chapter 2, the Bible talks about the first love to the church in Ephesus. And he says this in chapter 2 of the book of the Revelation, verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. Do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove the candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ with a message to a church in Ephesus. Now here's what happened. Did they heed the message? Ephesus is not even in existence today. Not only did the Lord remove the candlestick from the church, he removed the church. And not only did he remove the church, he removed the city. Nothing in Ephesus is left but empty buildings and ruins, simply because they left their first love. You see, when you leave your first love and your affections turn elsewhere, then it's a matter of adultery, idolatry. Who we love, what we love. Who we think of, what we think of. Our purpose for living, our priorities. Who we are, what we are, why we're here. All of this has to do with idolatry. God said to Israel, thou shalt have no other gods before thee. In verse 14 of our text, he talks about the sin of Samaria. You see, the problem in Samaria was idolatry. Now you know the account in the Word of God in 1 Kings chapter 12. How that Israel split a message was given to Rehoboam from the people of the northern tribes. Because of the way they were governed. Rehoboam did not heed the message. And because of that, the kingdom was split. So Jeroboam became the king in the northern part of Israel. And Rehoboam became king in the southern part of Israel. Now Jeroboam one day decided, in fact, he became fearful. If I do not do something, then there's a possibility that the northern kingdom would go back together again, the southern kingdom. So what he did was, he put a golden calf in Dan, and he put a golden calf in Bethel, and he put a shrine in Samaria. And here's what he said. Now, folks, if you want to start a false religion, you need to read this and see how it's done. Here's what he said. These are the gods that brought you out of Egypt. So what do you have? You have false gods and a false message. If you have a false message, that means you have a false prophet. And he pulled them away from Jehovah and pointed their hearts in the direction of idol gods. That's idolatry. Anything, my dear friends, anything, and I want to emphasize it one more time, anything we put before God is a false god and an idol. If I put myself before God, I'm involved in idol worship. If I put priorities before God, I'm involved in idol worship. My priorities become my idols. And the easiest thing to do is to justify our sin. Do you know that? Because here's what we usually think. Well, nobody knows what I'm going through, and they've never gone through what I've gone through. And therefore, because have never gone through what I've gone through, I'm justified in what I'm doing. That's an idol. Anything we put before God. If I put a golf game before God, I've got an idol. If I put my 2010 Chevrolet before God, I've got an idol. If I put my dollar and a half in the bank before God, I've got an idol. If I put my education before God, I've got an idol. Anything. Anyone could be an idol. If I put people I love before God, I've got an idol. It's an affection of the heart. If I put priorities before God, I've got an idol. What's important in my life? What's important in my life? It's an affair of the heart. And that involves the first love. And when we as God's people loses that first love, we're involved in idolatry. This is exactly what happened in Samaria. And that's exactly why Samaria was judged. That's why the 10.5 tribes of Israel were judged. My Lord, people, look. Look around you. What's talked about? What do you hear all the time? Even in the midst of all the uproar that we got around there today, what do we hear? What we hear is where people's hearts are. Finances, bills, doctors, yada, yada, yada. All these things. Entertainment. Anyone, anything that replaces that first love, we're involved in idol worship. That's what he meant here in Amos chapter 8 and verse 14. He was talking about idolatry. What consists of idols today in America? Well, there's materialism, right? I've said this time and time again. The greatest thing that ever has happened that affects life in America is materialism, affluency. All of a sudden, I've got a couple of dollars in the bank. I don't need God. All of a sudden, I've got United Healthcare, right? And Social Security. And I'm going to get a check every month. Well, we hope so. There's no guarantee that we will. All that could change tonight. Oh, preacher, I need to go to this ball game to see the kids play rather than come to God's house. That's idolatry. That's putting something or someone before God. It's an affection of the heart. That separates us from the Father. Materialism. How about sensuality? Oh, man. I mean, you can't turn on the television anymore. Two things that sells today. Are you ready? Sex. That sells. Put a little old girl in a skimpy outfit, walk her across the stage. You can sell anything. Sexuality. It's not what they're selling. It's how they're selling it. Another thing that affects us is fear. Do you know that? Yeah. Have you ever in your life seen more ambulance chases, attorneys on television today telling you that we got to, because of mesothelioma and you don't need this, you need this, you need to take this, you don't need to take that. My Lord, folks, if we listen to that crowd, we're the sickest people in the world. Fear. Well, I'd better get me some of that. If I don't, I'm liable to have a heart attack. Well, you're going to have one anyway, if that's what God's in. I mean, you listen, folks. We're all going to die. We're going to die of something. And we can take Eliquis and all the rest of that junk out there that they're peddling out of fear. Fear sales. How about they've got all this commercial today for your appliances, right? Your washing machines are going to go. Yeah, probably will. Dishwasher is going to go, oh yeah, probably will, just a matter of time. I just had to replace the air conditioning unit in my little place. All that's going to go sometime. But if you do this and if you buy that, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Fear. Fear sales. Sex sales. Sexuality, materialism, all these things sell. Another thing that we have to be careful of, not only, but secularism, how secular we become, and then self. I've got to move on, but I'm telling you, idolatry is a matter of the heart. And if we have anything or anyone that replaces God and the love of Him, we're guilty of idolatry. Number two, look over in the book of Zechariah. In Zechariah chapter 7, verse 11. It says this. He's talking here about Israel. He said, but they refused to hearken and pulled away their shoulder. In other words, they weren't going to hear. And then he says, and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Now, when they stopped their ears, notice what happened. Yea, they made their heart as an adamant stone. I don't know if those of you in my Sunday school class remember, but we were talking about this verse of Scripture. And an adamant stone. An adamant stone is harder than a diamond, allegedly. It was something that in no way could ever be penetrated. Diamond can be cut adamant stone couldn't be cut. You've heard the old saying, right? Well, that Mullins, he's so stubborn that he is adamant in what he believes. That means no one can penetrate it. I believe it. That's it. I believe we ought to be adamant about certain things. Don't get me wrong. I think we ought to be adamant about certain things. For instance, I believe that's the Word of God. I'm adamant about that. That this Bible that we use and read is the Word of God. I'm adamant about that. There's not a liberal in the world's changed their mind, my mind on that. Not a preacher in the world has ever preached a sermon against the King James Bible that's changed my mind on that. I'm adamant. Well, Mullen, you're just stubborn. You're antiquated. You're behind the times. This is old-fashioned night, by the way, here, because I'm using a lapel mic. We haven't used a lapel mic in years, and I'm wearing a suit. Old-fashioned night. Well, old-fashioned Mullen is adamant about a certain thing. And one is, I believe that's the Word of God. I'm also adamant that Jesus Christ is the Lord in the flesh. I believe that. I never met him as far as physically. Never talked to him as far as sitting down across the table. But I believe he's the Messiah. And I'm adamant about that. I'm adamant about eternal security of the saved. Folks can believe anything they want to believe. They can bow down to a telephone pole if they want to. That's their privilege. We do have a right in this country either to worship God or not worship God. We have a right in this country to love God or not to love God. But I believe that when God saves you forever. I'm adamant about that. Can't be penetrated. I don't care what's that preacher's name you like so well? Joel. Don't care what Joel has to say. Don't care what Church of Christ has to say. Don't care what the Methodists have to say. I don't care what the Church of God has to say. I don't care what the Christian church has to say. I don't care what the Catholic church has to say. I don't care what the Lutheran church has to say. I don't care what the ecclesiastical church has to say. I don't care what the Presbyterians say. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. They can preach anything they want to preach. That's a privilege in this country. But I'm adamant on that. I believe God saves us. He saves us forever. Another thing I believe is that when we're saved by the grace of God, it changes us. It changes us. Happened to me. I was alcoholic at the age of 12. I was on drugs at the age of 15. I ran in street gangs in those years. I hated people. And I didn't want to be around people. And there was no one worthy of my presence. But all of a sudden, God saved me. Changed me, changed my life, changed my thinking, changed my course, changed my direction. I quit going the way of an alcoholic. I quit going the way of a drug addict. I'm adamant about that. That when God saves a soul, he saves a soul forever. But what I'm preaching to you tonight, my dear friends, America, has plugged their ears. They have more faith in the First National Bank than they do in the Lord Jesus Christ. They have more faith in science and to have in the Word of God. They've plugged their ears. God said that judgment was coming. That, listen, we can't go on the way we're going. We're killing babies. How can God bless that? You've heard tell of an evangelist by the name of Kelly, big fella. Went to a ball game one night in his home in high school to watch a basketball game. And so the principal knew he was there. I mean, Kelly's preached all over the world. He wanted them to lead in prayer that night. Kelly began praying. He said, "Now, Lord," he said, "there's some boys going to be coming out in a minute in shorts. They want me to ask you to bless that, but I can't." He said, "Then, Lord, there's some girls going to come out here with little skimpy shirts on, skirts, to lead us in cheers. They want me to ask you to bless that, but I can't." And he went through a whole list of things. You say, "Well, that guy was just an idiot." Well, he was adamant. He was adamant. How can we think that this country is going to survive if we keep killing babies? How can we think this country is going to survive? I mean, now we've legalized marijuana. What's legalized next? How can we survive if we keep calling sin evil and evil good? And that's where we are. But yet you preach it, and America's plugged their ears. They're not hearing. Israel ceased to hear. Message was being preached. The Word of God was being proclaimed. But they plugged their ears. I'm not going to listen to an old boy out of Kentucky. Why should I listen to anybody out of Kentucky, right? I mean, if we were born in Kentucky, then according to the world, we're just ignorant. What do we know? And don't you look at me smug, because everyone in here has got roots in Kentucky. Somewhere down. It's not the fact of where we are, who we are. It's the message we preach. In America, plugged their ears. That's why America's not hearing. For the very same reason that Zechariah is speaking here, the nation of Israel. And they plugged their ears. And then finally, rebellion. Let's go to the book of Ezekiel. Tremendous book. And let's look at Ezekiel chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2, here's what it says. It says, "The word of the Lord also came unto me, saying, Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not. They are a rebellious people." In verse 3, he talks about a rebellious house. Now, what's rebellion got to do with not hearing? Well, here basically is what rebellion is made up of. Rebellion is peculiar for the famine of hearing because a rebellious person hears and understands. To be rebellious, you've got to hear the message and you've got to understand the message. How can you rebel if you don't know what you're rebelling against? Are you following me? Amen, preacher. The message has to be heard and the message has to be understood. Now, here's where the heart matter comes in. Okay. All right, preacher. You can preach it. But I'm not going to obey it. That's rebellion. That's rebellion. I hear the message, understand the message, but I've already made it up in my mind that I don't care what Pastor Barry Wilson says, I am not going to hear. That's rebellion. I can rebel against the word, I can rebel. We're living in a rebellious generation. So you have to hear and you have to understand, and to rebel goes against what you hear and against what you understand. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 23, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Are you with me? What happens when we rebel? Well, it stems from stubbornness. I'm just not going to listen. Years ago, I witnessed to a young lady that I worked with. And I had the privilege to sit down with her and talk to her about the scripture. Talk to her about what God had to say. And here's what she said to me. She said, well, first of all, I'm not going to die. I said, really? I said, what makes you so special? Well, I'm just not going to die. They're not going to put me in the ground. And here's what she said. This beautiful body is not going to rot away. You know who stood at her graveside? Old stubborn preacher. She died, and her beautiful body just rotted away. She said, I'm not going to listen to what you have to say. And she didn't, as far as I know. She died without a cry. Rebellion. Rebellion is a reason of a famine of not hearing. I'm just not going to listen. If you hear a message contrary to Scripture, you're listening to a message preached by a rebellious individual. Oh, I believe Jesus says, well, but you got to be a member, you got to do this, you got to do that, you know, all this other stuff. Got to be done. I met a fellow one time and said, preacher, I've done it all. I believed in Christ. I was baptized. I've taken the Lord's Supper. I go to church. I'm a member of the Sunday school class. I know I'm saved because I've tried it all. I've done it all. Done it all. A message of rebellion. Because it goes contrary to what Scriptures teach. If I'm preaching a message contrary to that book, I'm rebelling. If I'm living contrary to what the Bible teaches me in that book, I'm rebelling. I'm not only rebelling against society and against mom and dad and against all these other things, why they're going around in Levi's with holes in them and stuff like that. Just junk. That's just rebellion, folks. That's all it is. Just rebellion. They've plugged their ears. I'm not listening. I want to believe what I want to believe. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to act the way I want to act. I'm going to live the way I want to live. Therefore, all the values of my parents, I'm not listening to. The value of God's people, I'm not listening to. The value of the Bible, I'm not listening to. I'm going to rebel. I'm going to go contrary. They knew the truth. They know the truth. All this rebellion we're seeing today, these folks know the truth. But purposely, they're going contrary. It's rebellion. Israel ceased to be because of a rebellious heart. Contrary message, rebellion. What does rebellion do? It leads us to a famine of hearing. It leads us to a famine of hearing. There were the reasons. Three. Idolatry. Rebellion. Leads to a famine of hearing. Don't know your heart tonight. Pretty tough message. I may have said some things that make you mad. But folks, listen to me. If revival doesn't come to this country, we're dead in the water. We are sunk as a nation. We need revival. And revival starts in the heart. As we stand, brother,